What do you do when God reverses himself completely from what he commands you to do? And he does the opposite. Luke writes, chapter 11, Luke writes in chapter 11, if a son ask a father for bread, will he give him a stone? And the obvious answer is no. For then he goes on to say, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask him? But what happens when you ask for bread and God gives you a stone? I'll tell you what to do when God gives you stones when you've asked for bread. Make a pillow out of them. Lay your head upon them and look up. And watch the angels ascending and descending. One is the night shift going off. The other is the day shift coming on. Read it in Genesis, chapter 28. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of the place and put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. What a ladder. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And then turn to verse 17. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there's scarcely a person here tonight that has not asked for bread, begged for bread in the spiritual sense, prayed for it, fasted for it, agonized for it, waited, longed, examined their hearts, consecrated themselves, and to your disappointment, and adding to the problem of faith, instead of God giving you bread, he gave you a stone. Examples abound all through the Word of God. I read about a man, his name was John. A beautiful, lovely, congenial soul that thought only of love. And one day, his own testimony is, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus. All he asked for bread, and he landed on Devil's Island in his old age. What a way for God to answer a man's prayer. He asks for just a little bit of bread and winds up on an island that is famous for its criminals, its anarchists, its murderers, its Bolsheviks, helpless criminals who were turned onto the island. there to die and to perish. This was his company. And around them were the skulls and the bones of those who had dived in bleach there. And in the distance he could hear the screeching of the eagles. And sitting on the shore and listening to the waters play its mournful oratorios on the keyboard of the rocks, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He put those stones under his head. And he said, I heard a voice, and I turned to see. And he saw Jesus Christ. No prayer in Bible conference. Really no prayers answered. No money for the building program. No signs of deliverance. Could not hear the singing of the boatmen who were coming to rescue him. He took those stones, put them under his head, said, I was in the Spirit. I moved into a new dimension in God, into the Spirit, and I saw the heavens open. Our assistant general superintendent talks about the doxo, and here is the doxo of John. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood, and has made us kings and priests unto his Father and unto our God. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. These are the songs of a man who lays his head upon the stones that God gives him on the Isle of Patmos. God opens a vision for him to behold the glory of God on the streets of glass, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords ascends the throne. Some of the greatest hymns that we sing today have come from instances just like this. I had a dear friend who a few years ago went home to glory. At least I think that's where he went. At least that's where he started out to go. I hope he arrived all right. He and his family saw the needs in the earlier days in California. Gave up everything because of a burning, flaming passion for evangelism. Somehow the support didn't come. The crowds didn't come. The call turned sour within. It was pleasant to the taste of the mouth, but in the stomach it was bitter. And the whole family wound up in a cane field, picking cane for a living, to keep the parsonage family from starving. One day, in sheer exhaustion, William Goose Cliburn lay down on the earth in the cane field and fell asleep. He fell asleep with his own humiliation and sacrifice on his mind. And in his sleep, he dreamed he saw the humiliation, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that cane field came this immortal song, down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his world a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Without reluctance, flesh and blood is substance. He took the form of man and wrought redemption's plan. God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to win, to save the lost. He asked for bread, but instead there came a stone. And out of that stone vision, one of the greatest Christological hymns that the church will ever be able to sing. Oh, how I love him! How I adore him! My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and now I know thou art the great I Am. I think of the prophet Ezekiel. He is a priest before he becomes a prophet. And the first place I discover him is in a refugee camp. He is found among the refugees of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. He's among the captives. Some of us either had the fortune or the misfortune of seeing the refugees. I've been in the camps in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan, in these areas of the world. And Ezekiel said, that's where I was, displaced, far away from home, every privilege denied. I'm a priest, but look where I am. And he said, in that refugee camp, the heavens opened, and I saw visions of God. What the soft pillow did not give, the pillow of stone did. An open heaven and visions of God. I think of the little girl who was completely blind at the age of 6. But tremendously talented. Maybe last Sunday morning or last Sunday night you sang, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching, waiting, looking above. That's the only place Fanny Crosby could look, was look above. She asked for bread, but instead came the stone. Laying that little head upon that stone, she has given us some of the most priceless lessons. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour, that before thy throne I spend when I kneel in prayer. And with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Changed in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as I. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the chilling tide, and the morning breaks bright and fair, I shall see my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of the King. Hallelujah! She asked for bread, but she got a stone. Turn that stone into such rivers of joy.
Hallelujah.
You and I today revel and praise God and worship him. Because someone who was denied the bread of life would not let it spoil her communion with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. I think of a man who had a very ordinary name by the name of Paul. He said, I was caught up to heaven. He said, man, I saw things that are unlawful to utter. No human could describe. There are no words to tell what I beheld and what I saw. And all of a sudden there came the crash. Because of his revelations, there came a thorn. And he said, I asked God 3 times. He pled. He wept. Take this thorn, O Lord, please, God, take this thorn. He asked for bread. Instead, he received grace. My grace is sufficient. And laying that stone under his head, he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels, principalities or powers, things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And in that old Mamertine prison, a rock roof, a rock floor, rock walls, tied to a rock post in the middle of that dirty, filthy dungeon, he writes to his beloved Ephesians, oh yes, his bread turned to stone, but listen to this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, Lord, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah! That old Mamertine prison shook. Those stones lit up with the glory of the judgment seat of Christ. You and I today revel in the word coming out of that filthy dungeon. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Gives you bread, gives you stone instead of bread. Turn that stone into the mercy seat. There learn to meet with God and with his spirit and with his wonderful love. He writes again out of that same prison, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard, shall garrison, as with a military force, your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever is of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have seen and heard and learned and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah! That's what happens, friends, when we can take the stones and say, God, if this is what you sent me, I'm going to use these stones. I'm going to do something with them. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more an exceeding weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How often have you prayed for great blessings, but instead there came a drought? You prayed for a mighty moving of God's Spirit, instead there came a deadness. You have prayed for an increase in finances, and something happened to the finances. Oh, how often we have prayed and yearned as pastors. You're looking at an old boy that knows what he's talking about. I've soaked that old pillow many a night with tears of disappointment, of heartache, and grief over my inability to somehow pray a hole into heaven and bring the needed showers upon the people of God. I yearn for miracles. I yearn for a moving of God's Spirit. I want to see God move. I beg for bread. But instead he sent me a pillow of stone. And laying my head on that pillow, I had fellowship that only the high priest of Israel could have. I went into the holiest of holies and took a hold of his nail-pierced hands, said, God, thank you for my pillows of stone. I'm learning something. I'm learning something about God's ways of doing things. He said, brethren, the things which have happened to me here in this dungeon have turned up to the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you and I can look to God and see in those stones the very vehicle that God uses to show us the two-way traffic coming and going. Are those angels not ministering spirits who are sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? Now they don't have a ladder to our beautiful air-conditioned sanctuaries and our rich carpeted floors and the million-dollar decor, but they find it their places. Somehow they gravitate to where there are pillows of stone. Hallelujah. And there they establish the divine concourse between God and man. We talk so much about the great divine healing men. Men like Dr. Charles Price. I wish you all had known old Dr. Charles like I knew him. Holdsmith Wigglesworth. People almost deify these men. But what they don't know, what people don't know, Smith Wigglesworth left more than one prayer line to go back into an office to double over with his pain and with his agony, for which he could get no deliverance. And coming out would once again pray the prayer of faith, and people by the thousands were healed, and Smith Wigglesworth died with an incurable disease. If this shocks you, let me tell you, friends, there are men who have turned those stones into the very instruments that made them the useful tools in the hands of God that they have become. Oh, in my carnal pleasures, I said, Lord, bread, please God, bread, it'll satisfy even my spiritual lusts. Who doesn't want a big church? Who doesn't want a big moving of God? Who doesn't want to be a blessing? Any man with an ounce of sense would want to be this. Well, time and time again, he took me from the oasis into the desert. There to learn. There to listen. There to abide. Until lessons were learned deep down on the inside. I think of that young lawyer preacher who was fast becoming the finest, brightest young man in all of Scotland, not only as an attorney, a barrister, but a tremendous evangelical preacher. Crowds followed him wherever he went. He was engaged to one of Scotland's most beautiful young girls. But one day he discovered he was losing his eyesight. He went to his doctor, the best specialist he could find. And they said, sir, I must tell you the truth. In a few years, you're going to be blind. Totally blind. Naturally, he was crushed. He was smitten. But one thing gave him hope. His beloved Elizabeth. He could depend on her. He could count on her. And so he told her about this tragic discovery. And she said, Elizabeth, you will marry me, won't you? You will be my wife. And finally she said, no, I don't want to be married to a blind man for the rest of my life. And then the curtains fell. And George Matheson was in the dark. And out of the dark came these words. O love that wilt not let me go, I cast my helpless self on thee. I give thee back the life I owe, until in thine ocean depths its flow may richer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow in the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn will cheerless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I do not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, till from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. If he doesn't give you bread, turn that stone into the mercy seat where God and man can meet together. All of us have heard the story of G.T. Spafford sending his wife and beautiful daughters on a tour back to London, to England, back home to see her folks. On the way back, the ship struck a rock and was sunk. And in his office in New York City, he received this wire. Everything's lost. I alone am saved. His wife. The children were gone. The family was gone. For a few days, G.D. Spafford literally rolled in self-pity. And one day he said, now, what is this? What am I doing? He sat down at his desk and gave us this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, our sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day when faith shall be sight, when the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, the Lord shall descend. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. Somebody mentioned one of my dear friends tonight. At Belton, Missouri. She'd been in a wheelchair for 20 years. And I knew that up till that moment, Bill had had 10 major surgeries for cancer of the face and neck and lungs. I knew that the whole, both sides of his face were false. Prosthesis on both sides. He can almost take himself apart. I know the agony, the sorrow, the grief. But Bill Popejoy has taken his God's refusal to give him bread. He said, I will be healed. I won't accept this cancer. I won't let it be the final verdict. And Bill has been the greatest blessing of his life. He has blessed congregations across America. His pen drips with a new inspiration. Discouraged pastors and pastors' wives and families who have nothing more than a hiccup or a cold have been blessed and helped by the mighty message that leaps from his pen of a man who lives in the grip of death every day of his life, pushing a beloved wife in a wheelchair. You listen to them. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Revelation chapter 19, and this is the only place where it appears. No other where is it in the Scriptures. In verse 4, they that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Brethren, let me say this quickly. The reason so many of us have never been able to shout a resounding hallelujah, we've never yet said an honest amen. So be it. If this is my lot, Lord, if this is what I must do, if this is what I must be, amen, Lord, amen. If it is through weakness and suffering and sadness and sorrow, I say, Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. If I can't have what I want, Amen, Lord. If I can't be prospered, if I can't be blessed, I know this cross is something that's perfect, all right. The Lord will heal you. Not everybody's rich. Not everybody's healthy. Some of God's choicest saints in my travels around the world. A lot of times we quote David. He said, I've been young and I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. But David's personal testimony does not apply to the whole world. I've seen hungry people of God around the world. I've seen suffering people. I've seen saints of God cry, Where is He? Where is God? I can't reach Him. I can't find Him. I can't touch Him. Someplace I've lost God. Then a little while later I met them, and they were singing Handel's Messiah. They were singing the songs of Charles Wesley. They were singing Irish Danful songs. They were singing Bible songs. I said, what happened? Where did the hallelujah come from? He said, after we learned to say amen, then the hallelujahs came. Hallelujah. 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 Dear brother, sister, pastor, learn to say amen. Learn to say amen and wait. Learn to say amen and praise. Learn to say amen and trust. Live with the best faith you're capable of. The best worship that rises from your hearts. Amen, God. Amen. If that's the way you want it, that's the way it's supposed to be. Lord, I will not find any fault with the way you do it. Amen, Lord. Amen. And then come the hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Then the hallelujahs start drinking in. When I say quite by accident, that needs qualifying, but I don't have the time. We discovered that our only son had a giant cell tumor in the tibia of his leg. And the first reply from the doctors was this: amputation. Now, how would you respond when I say the idol of my heart, not quite? I love that boy as only a dad can love. He's everything I've always dreamed of and wanted in a boy. Almost 6'4", handsome as a movie star, tremendous scholar, high school, college, and graduate work. Every one of those, summa cum laude, 4.00 grade average. 2 years away from his medical degree. And while traveling with his sister in Teen Challenge in Austria, he wrote back and he said, Dad, what am I doing thinking of fixing a few poor old broken bodies when men and women by the thousands are going to hell? He said, you've got a little AG church in every hamlet in Kansas. And in all of Austria, there are 13 little Pentecostal churches. And now he winds up with a giant cell tumor after making this dedication, after surrendering every opportunity the world offered. The day he walked out of grad school in TCU Fort Worth, was a man there with a check for $18,000. He said, no, sir. No. I want to go and teach boys and girls in the ghettos how to love Jesus, how to know Jesus, how to find Jesus. We said, but doctors, are you sure? They said, we are 95% sure. This is a giant cell tumor. And I don't know why, but a giant cell tumor, after a certain period, goes straight for the lungs. The doctor said, I think this has been here long enough. It could break out any moment, any day, and that would be the end. He said, however, to make sure, we'll perform a biopsy. In the meantime, there were some friends who were praying. My son found out it was no disadvantage to be an alumnus of Evangel College. He found out it didn't hurt at all to have a dad who was district superintendent and executive presbyter. They performed the biopsy, and what they couldn't understand, the doctor said, all that was left of his knee was an eggshell. In the morning he went into the hospital. He ran 6 miles, which was his normal jogging course for each morning before he went to work. They examined with the best pathologists that we have in Kansas. They said, we're not sure now. We're not quite sure now. We're going to have to go somewhere else. And the head doctor of that particular department was a graduate of MD Anderson in Houston, the bone and tumor clinic. He said, we're going to send you down there to men who know. He went down to Houston. They ran more checks and tests. Everybody that came in got preached to. The nurses, the little boys, the big boys, the doctors, the poor old clergy that came in got so shocked, they started a little religious rope like they generally do, and this kid began to talk to them about new life, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the new birth, about prayer, about trusting God. They left the room and shook their heads. But it got all over that floor. There's a fanatic in room 127. There's a nut in there. We don't know what to make of him. Finally, they said, we're going to go in. It is a vascular tumor with malignancy. Said, we must operate immediately. Surgery was performed during the time of the general council. The home in which they were staying, this pastor's wife was a good friend of one of the top nurses in that particular department. She came to this pastor's wife and said, they're not telling that kid the truth. He's got a flaming cancer, a galloping cancer, and in 6 months he could be dead. During general council, I got a phone call. It was my son. I said, Dad, how is it? He said, Dad, our backs are up against the wall. Now it's time to trust God. He said, Dad, all my life I've heard you preach. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since I was a little kid, I've heard you thunder, by his stripes we are healed, and I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I said, Dad, was that just preaching? Or was that something we should believe? I said, Dad, what do they say? They say, I've got to have radium. 6 weeks on and 6 weeks off for a year. He said, Dad, I'm a chemist. I know what radium is. Radium is fire. He said, I won't have a leg anyway. He said, Dad, I've made this dedication. I love God, and he loves me. I'm his child, and he's my father. Now, if there's no more for me to do on earth, that's okay. He's the manager. He's the boss man. If he can afford to get along without me, that's fine. If he wants to keep me here, then he's going to have to do something. But he said, this is as far as I'm going to go. He said, Dad, will you stand with me? Well, you can imagine what Dad said. You can imagine. But let me tell you, friends, some things you do not know. I wish Dr. Carlson was still here. Do you know we had personal telephone calls in that hospital by Dr. T.F. Zimmerman, Dr. Carlson, Dr. Phil Holden? These men called to the hospital to talk to Doug. They wrote him personal lessons. You see Tom F. Zimmerman, and you see an autocrat, an aristocratic judge, a parliamentary procedure, and under that stern front is a heart as big as a number 3 tub. Any man that loves my boy to take time from the high office of the General Council of the Assemblies of God to make a phone call, to write a personal line, that man has my support. They brought him in for radium, took off that huge cast, and marked out the areas for the radium and dumpsters to the radiologist. What's that for? That's the area we're going to apply the radium. He said, Doctor, now, if you don't mind, I'll not take the radium. You people have done as much as you could, and I appreciate it. I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ. I believe he can do what no man can do. And I am prepared to commit myself to the Lord's care, whether by life or by death. Whether I live or die, that's the way it's going to have to be. And the doctor just looked at him and said, Doug, you're old enough. It's up to you. Oh, when you ask for bread, he gives you a stone. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you know we stopped praying and began to worship? We didn't any longer ask God to heal. God knew what we wanted. We told him once, two times, 1,000 times. He said, now, Lord, you've heard us cry about it long enough. Now we're going to square our shoulders. We're going to start to sing. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to stand with this young man in his faith, in his determination to prove God. He found that verse that was quoted tonight. Is not my word like a hammer or like a fire? He said, hey, that's the alien. Then he found that verse in Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. He said, Dad, I'm cramming my heart and mind with the word of God, the spiritual radium of heaven, and I believe that the word of God can purify everything in my life. Glory to God! He's gone back several times. About, I said, the last time he was back in December, because the MD Anderson Clinic believes in eternal security. Once an MD Anderson patient, always an MD Anderson patient. So they said, Doug, we want you to come back every, first of all, every 6 weeks. And the last time was about 2.5 months. And they x-rayed and they x-rayed. They said, there's something wrong with our machine. These x-rays don't compare with the former x-rays. And the specialist came in, the top honcho himself came in and worked his leg all over it. And he said, Doug, how are the crutches coming? He said, Doctor, I know you told me to wear them till Christmas. But one day last October, as I was leaving the classroom and going down the hall on these crutches, praising God for my healing, a little voice said, if you believe you're healed, then why do you carry those crutches? He said, Doctor, I put them in the trunk of my little car and they're still there. The doctor said, oh, that accounts for the strength in your knee. You've used your leg. It's so hard to say it was the Lord. But friends, when we say amen, amen. I did not realize, where's my dear friend from West Texas? He agonized with us. I tell you, you wonder why I love these men? This man was our evangelist during our camp. And these people prayed with me, he and Brother Hudson, our general treasurer. These men do more than count money. Those men gathered the whole camp around my wife and I again and again. They called us up again and again. I tell you, you give me people that feel my aches and my sorrows, my heartaches and my tears. That's the company I want to go to heaven with. But during that time, I said to God, God, you know how much I've loved this boy. He's been the apple of my eye, a top athlete, lettered in 4 sports, set records in his school that will be broken someday, but up till now no one has even come near, in both football, basketball, track, baseball, a top scholar, But a boy that loved God, loved his daddy, loved his mama, not afraid to kiss his mother in front of 2,000 people. Or pick up his dad at Evangel Paul and say, "Dad, I'm so glad to see you." Wasn't ashamed of the old man. But driving from Wichita to Woodston, that may not mean anything to you. Brother Hudson knows, and some of these men know, or brother from West Texas, Brother Rogers knows. And I said, "God, I've prayed enough. I'm going to praise. If you want to take him, amen. It's no disgrace to die in faith. There's nothing wrong in going home to glory at the age of 25. If you love them more than we do, Lord, if you need them more than we do, amen. Amen. Amen." Brother Rogers knows. He was with us those weeks. But I tell you, when that big old 6'4" walked into our house day before Christmas, the hallelujahs began. We stopped the amen. Now the hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We made a communion service on every meal. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords joined us all day long with the holiest of holies experience. The amen. Amen. The hallelujah. Let me close quickly. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we go through the book of the 11th chapter. We start off way back there with Abel by faith, Abel, and by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith, then it goes on, David, Barak, Jephthah. Oh, what a story. What a story. Then you come down to verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, quenched the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others. Not Abraham, not Moses, not David. The anonymous others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And these all, A-double-L, obtained a good report. The same report that Noah had, and Enoch had, and Moses had, and Joseph had. These anonymous others received the same good report. They received no bread. They were given stone. Laid their head on those stones and became victors in Jesus Christ. Upon the world is not worthy. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The thousands of unknowns, the millions of unknowns, who died without their prayers answered, will join the triumphant one. Glory to God. Glory to God. March down the golden streets together, having turned those pillars of stone into the throne of grace where they met their God. J. Tucker heard his last sermon in the United States, and it happened, it will be one, brethren, that I preached. the last sermon that Jay Tucker heard in the United States. It's my privilege to preach. And I took my text, and his hand clung to the sword. And out yonder in the Congo, he had a chance to escape. He could have done what others did. But not on your life. Jay Tucker was not made of that kind of quality. Others did not accept deliverance. But on the day the angels brought Jay Tucker's spirit home to glory, hallelujah, heaven declared a holiday. Here he is. They said, Lord, we've got one problem with this fellow. I said, what's that? We can't get the sword out of his hand. He still got it. He won't give up. He turned that stone. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen? To your situation, to your problem, to your disappointment, your heartaches, keep saying amen. Keep saying amen. One of these moments, you'll add the hallelujah. The hallelujah of victory, of triumph. Glory to God. God will open up the heavens for us to see the glory that awaits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.